Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. And not only, Father, your presence being with us, but Lord, the fact that even as frigid as it is outside, yet your presence seems to keep us warm, Lord, and at peace with what you've given. And so, Lord, we're just looking forward to this spring and your great coming of your Son. And we believe, Father, that we've been faithful. And Lord, we've been faithful to believe this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to look at the life manifested is a life projected. And 2 weeks ago, we began to look at this thought that the very life that we manifested is the very life that we are projecting. And it all has its source before the foundations of the world. What we have learned so far is that if we are in Christ, that means we are in the manifested Word. Christ means the anointed, and He is the Word. Therefore, the very life that we manifested, or that we manifest, is also the very life we are projecting, and it is Christ's own life. His words are spirit, and they are life. Now, remember, 2 weeks ago, we read from Satan's Eden, where Brother Brown said, your voice, you know what? Your action speaks so loud, it drowns your voice. Now, think about that. Drowning means that basically it kills off your voice, and your voice has no more influence. And so we saw in 1 Corinthians 2:11, where we read, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And all you have to do is turn on the news today, and you can see that they don't consider the Word of God. They consider just the things of man. He said, neither can he know them. It's impossible for them to know. You know, the fact you should be the happiest people on earth because you know the things of God, and the world doesn't. And it's a mystery to them, and you can talk to them, and it's just like you're talking in riddles, because they are spiritually discerned. In order to spiritually discern, you have to be spiritual, which means spirit-filled, okay? In other words, you must have the Spirit of God to rightly discern the word, and to rightly divide the word. But he that is spiritual, in other words, he that is spirit-filled, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Now, when it says he is judged of no man, it doesn't mean if you do something wrong and that's not according to the word, you're not going to be judged for it. You're not going to be judged for it. But what it means is that everything that we do and say and breathe, you know, we act like Christ, we live like Christ, we speak his words. And so, you know, the world may want to judge you for speaking his words, like this anti-abortion stuff, you know, and just, you know, just standing for the word, but they can't judge you. Now, they might try, but they will be judged for what they do to you. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of God, of Christ. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, the word become flesh, his India trip report. He said, what kind of people would it be this morning if this Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God? Why, when you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own, but just to be led of the Spirit. And they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself out, amen, then then will be when the church in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus will walk in his steps, in his power, and in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. You see what I mean? Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. That's when the church is in its power. I believe it's on its road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit manifests so mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves, they don't have no thoughts but to see God, and their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity. Because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the thoughts of their mind. Their mind. In other words, your mind. The thoughts of your mind being brought to pass. Now, two Sundays ago, we took our subject from Genesis 1:11, every seed after its kind, and we spoke on the life manifested, the same life becomes projected. Last week, we continued from that message, and today I would like to continue on the same thought one last time. As we see, we are living in the hour when the sons of God will manifest in their true identity, character, and nature. I believe this is the hour that the world will see the phaneru of God, because they have already seen it in William Branham, and we'll see it in God's elect before she goes to meet him. But just like the world saw the phaneru of God, which is the very essence of who he is, and they saw it in William Branham, yet they all thought he was a quack. They all thought he was nuts, just like they did with Jesus. And they crucified Jesus, and they crucified William Branham every day by what they say on the internet. And they'll crucify you, but that don't matter. God sees his image in you. Jesus was so committed to his Father that he did nothing but what God showed him to do. He spoke nothing but what God commanded him to do. And my prayer is that we all come to that place where we don't speak but what God speaks through us. We don't act but what God acts through us. And our life will be a total testimony to him. He taught no doctrine but what God, what doctrine God gave him to teach, and he did not do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. In John 5:19, we read, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise." In John 5:30, "I can of mine own self do nothing." That's the testimony of Jesus. "As I hear a judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." So my question to you is, are you seeking his will in what you do? In John 14:10, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Are you doing the same? John 14:24, "The words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." John 14:31, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." In other words, I'm obedient. Okay, arise, let us go hence. John 12:49, "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." And you know what? We have God's commandment ourselves right here. Okay? John 4:34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat," in other words, my nourishment, I mean, that's what we live on, my life, my energy, "is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So can we say the same thing? Now let's get back to Hebrews 10:8. Okay? "Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, he may establish the second." You see, what I believe to be taking place in this hour is that God is coming more and more into his church. That's what he said he would do. And sons are becoming more and more in the image of their elder brother, which means they're coming more and more into the image of the source of life, which is their Father. And they're learning to yield themselves like the firstborn son did. Now, if Jesus, as our elder brother in a vast family of brethren, came forth in the exact image of his Father, which is Hebrews 1 and 3, that if we are to be conformed to the image of the eldest son in a vast family of brethren, then we are to become in the very image of the Father also. Because if the firstborn son was identical to the Father, and we come in the image of the firstborn son, then we also are identical. All right? In Hebrews 1:1-5, the Amplified Version says, in many separate revelations. In other words, think of each prophet that came forth and the revelation that they brought. So the accumulation of all those revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in the different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last days he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir of and lawful owner of all things. Also by and through whom he created the worlds and reaches of space. Just think, man's constantly thinking about going to space, but, you know, he owns them all. And the ages of time, and that is, he made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory, the doxa of God. In other words, we might have the doxa of God in an infantile state where we are growing and growing and growing and we're becoming more mature, but he had it all. He had it all. He had every thought of God, all right, who is the light being, the outraying of the divine. In other words, when you saw him, you were seeing God because he was the image of God. He was the outraying of God. And he is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had by offering himself, accompanied our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to the angels as the glorious name which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son? Just think. God is saying that about you. Which of the angels did he ever say, you are a son? And yet God said, you are my sons. You're my children. That's so, you know, when you think of the eternities beyond, no eye has ever seen, no ear heard, the great things that God has in store for us that love him. Just, I want you people to, and I got my eyes closed because I'm just praying as I'm talking, but I want you people to realize, and just when you go to bed at night, I don't want you to go to bed thinking about the events of the day, but I want you to go to bed with thoughts of eternity on your mind. Thoughts of the new heavens and the new earth and all the times and just the wonderful things that God has prepared for you. And I want you to dwell on that. Now, Brother Bram said, I believe from the heart, he said, Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God were one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The very expression, a man's work declares his character. Now, can you imagine when Brother Branham told Brother Vail, after the sword was placed in his hand, and he said, from that time, he said, all my thoughts are of God. Are we coming to that place where all our thoughts are of God? We will for an eternity as well. Just not imagine, just knowing, just seeing the greatness of God in all his splendor. When our vision becomes his vision, and we can see all the angels around the throne. just imagine in your mind, because we can't do it otherwise, because we're mortal. But just imagine in your mind what it says in Isaiah and different places in Scripture about the angels were encamped about those who fear him. If our eyes could only see vision, as Brother Branham said, and recognize that more are here that are with you than in the world. That's a lot of angels. But he becomes so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The very expression, that's what I want to get to. The very expression of God. A man's work declares his character. You see something that, like those pictures on the back wall, and you say, that was Heinrich Kaufmann. Those pictures declare his ability to put to canvas the very life of Christ. Christ was God's work, and Christ declared God's character. His feeling for the sick, his longing for saving of souls, till even he gave his own life. God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. Therefore, we see that he was the very expression of God. This first light that God brought forth was the Logos, which was a part of God coming forth as an expression, which God called his Son. Now, I thought it was interesting that when I fed the study on the doctrine of Christ to Grok, he said, you know, I'm going to teach it this way from now on. And he said, because I see that Jesus had a beginning when he was born with Mary, but he didn't realize, and maybe I hadn't sent him that information yet. But in Genesis 1, verse 3, when God spoke, Brother Brown said, the very first time God spoke, he said, let there be life. Let there be light. There was also life. That was the life of the Son of God. And so, then through the expression, or the expressed word, or let's say the manifested word, God brought forth all of creation. In Romans 11:36, we read, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So whatever wealth you have, it belongs to him. Whatever life you have, it belongs to him. Whatever joy, it belongs to him. Joy cometh from the presence of the Lord, okay? Again, Brother Branham said, from sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, Jesus was born for one purpose. That was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought. Notice, he was a physical body, but men and women could see what he thought, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and the actions take place. That's why if you have the mark of God, the seal of God, you have the Holy Ghost in you, you're going to express the Holy Ghost. But if you got the mark of Satan, then you're going to express compromise and anything to get ahead. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness. Can you imagine God being grateful? I'm so grateful, and I can't imagine God being grateful. He's the author of all things. And yet he's grateful that we've received his offering of all things. Can you imagine going to a birthday party and giving a nice gift to somebody and the person not being grateful? You see, so you like to see people grateful when you do things for them, right? God's looking at you and he says, I'm giving them and I'm pouring out my blessings upon them and I'm grateful that they are receiving what I have. So God was in Christ reconciling the world. And his attitude towards all mankind, he expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes, and they'd scratch their heads, and they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time, looked like, and something else other times. What it was Jesus was speaking, and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Hey, guess what? We do the same. Sometimes we speak, and it's Brian or Justin. But other times we speak, and you know what? It's God speaking. Like when I was in Africa and told the storm to stop, it stopped. That wasn't Brian Kusorik. That was God. Or when we asked the Lord to change the weather by 30 degrees and it changed, that wasn't me. That was God. Oh, wow, if you could just understand, we are coming into that image. What it was Jesus was speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works. My Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. You see, that is exactly what the Apostle John said in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, wait a minute. That which was from the beginning. Well, it says, in the beginning, God spoke. So, beginning of time, before that, it was before the foundations of the world. It was in the eternity of God. But now, when God spoke, and his word become manifested in that logos going forth, that light, that's the beginning of all things. That's why Christ is the beginning of all things. The Bible says that. You see, that is exactly what John said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's words, which we have seen with our eyes, that's the light, which we have looked upon, and our hands, that's Jesus Christ, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Whose life was manifested? God's life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was not only with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of the life of God. Wow. You see, that is the very life that we echo his word first, and then we echo his life. 1 John 5:12, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. He that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the words Jesus spoke, and Brother Bram quoted many times. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, echoes everlasting life. 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So the life which is of God is God life that he's talking about. It came forth from the Father into his Son to become expressed in a visible being. Thus the invisible God would become visible through the body of his Son. In John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And what is life without an expression of that life? You look at a rock and it is a thing, it is material, but there's no life, there's no expression. Now you look at a seed and you plant it in the ground. And when the sun begins to bake the soil, warm it up, it begins to give forth an expression. What is life without an expression? And if God expressed his very own life through the body of his firstborn Son, then what about the other sons? That's exactly what I was preaching in Uganda when the storm came. the devil didn't want them to hear it, but God said, hey, he said, did I ask you to come here? Yes. Did I ask you to preach? Yes. Then go take charge of the media. I said, well, I thought, well, wow, how do I take charge of this huge storm? But then I thought of Jesus and still the waves that were coming into the boat, and how Brother Branham ran around the tree after just having stopped the storm in Colorado. And I went to the pulpit and I said, I take every spirit in here under my control for the glory of God. And I said, Satan, you are the prince and power of the air, but your stinger was pulled out on Calvary. Therefore, you're a bluff, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must stop. And you know what? It stopped. Now, was that Brian Kosorik? No, it was echoing Jesus Christ in the boat. William Branham, another son, as he ran around the tree. Then what about us? We are also sons born by the same spirit in the same family and given the same name as our father. The same name given to the firstborn son, firstborn is given to the other sons as well, for the whole family of God is named Jesus. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And furthermore, look what Paul said in Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many. And I love the way that Weymouth translation reads, Romans 8:29, for those whom he has known beforehand. And let me just say this. You all believe you have the Holy Ghost? Amen. Overseas, you all believe you have the Holy Ghost? All right. Well, guess what? For those whom he has known before the foundations of the world, that includes you, he has also predestined to bear the likeness of his son, that he might be the eldest in a vast family of brethren. That is phenomenal thing to know, that you are part of a family, the family of heaven. Now, let's see how these tie together with what we have been looking at concerning the sons of God and the way in which we are to manifest in our sonship in this hour. From the Palmyra locust and caterpillar, he said, and if Christ is in that vine and the life of Christ is in that person, it'll be like Jesus. It'll bear the fruits of him. It's his spirit. It can't do nothing else but do that. It's got to produce that life because it's the same life. You just can't produce anything else. It'll act like him. It'll talk like him. It'll walk like him. It'll heal like him. It'll see visions like him. And honestly, it'll produce dreams like him, like Joseph had and others. It'll produce exactly his life perfectly every time because it's his life. You're just a shell. A man's just like a water pipe. He's not the water. He's just the pipe. Like a glass of water. You have a glass and you have water. But the water, you couldn't give it to another person in the water form. So it's got to be in the pipe. It's got to be in the glass. And so if God wants to share his life with people, he's got to have your body to share it through. Otherwise, they don't get it. He's invisible. Take the water out of him, he'll rust. Well, that's what's the matter today. And there's too many of us rusty that once had an experience. Keep the water flowing. That's what keeps the life going. From Christ is identified the same. He said he was a manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I always do that which pleases my Father. And I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. And when you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he expressed God. The Spirit was so much in him that the Father and it and he, excuse me, that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. He was the same person in that God was in Christ. He was expressing him. Now listen carefully. Brother Bram said Jesus expressed so much the Father that what was in him that he thought it not robbery to be the same person. That's why the oneness people have such a hard time understanding the Godhead. But that is not oneness teaching. That is God so expressing himself in his Son because his Son made the choice to die to self. That when you saw the Son, you saw the Father himself. Have you made the choice to die to yourself and your thinking and let God express himself through you? From show us the Father, it'll satisfy. He said, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, but the Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared it. And Philip here was so very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. He says here, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, see? Well, that's how God and Christ were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? So what about you and me? From Elisha, the prophet, Brother Branham said, now the only way the people will see Jesus is when they see him in you. You realize you have that potential? You are the written epistles. In Christ's Spirit, if Christ's Spirit dwells in you and brings you and brings your conduct into subjection to his Spirit and makes you act like him and talk like him and walk like him and live like him, you see, people see Jesus in you because it's not you walking, it's not you talking, it's not you living, it's Christ liveth in me, you see, as Paul said. From identification, but when he's seen that his creation had fallen. Now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man Christ. As Paul's speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God, rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person, and oh, no one could ever do that but God. So William Branham made a conscious decision to die to William Branham. He said, William Branham is my greatest enemy. And we saw God in this hour standing before groups of men. He said in a sermon, The Rapture, when you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there and declare himself just as he ever did. And that's the truth in this Bible open. See, that's right. We are here. Now all men saw William Branham, but no man could do the things that we saw coming forth from that man's ministry. So that we did see was God standing there using the body of another son. From anointed ones at the end time, he said, now I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. You see, I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near, notice near, when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It was what I just surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. And it isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. Then the angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. See, that's why Grok, the supercomputer, could say, well, it appears to me, through my analysis, that most people in this message have faith in William Branham, but they don't have faith in the one that William Branham had faith in. That's an indictment, and I think that's pretty powerful. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? Now, to me, William Branham so entered into Colossians 3 that he became Colossians 3. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, and it's impossible for you to do it alone, you must rise with him, for it is him that has risen in you by the new birth. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I am living. Yet it's not I, it's not Paul, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Jesus, we're living by his revelation. His revelation was, I am a son of God. I am the Son of God. Do you have the same revelation that you are a son of God? Letting off the pressure, Brother Bram said, how many Christians in here still love the world? If you do, you're not a Christian. Wow, that's an indictment. You are a professor of Christianity and not a possessor. For when a man once tastes of Christ, he's dead to the things of the world, and by no means he has any desire to go back into that. So what does he do? The life. Paul said, that I once lived, I live no more. Yet I live, not me, but Christ in me. Why? He raised him from this low level of worldly sin up to a place that we ourselves can look back and see where we come from, and that's glory, he says. Look back and see where we once lived. Now we live different. What is it? It's the assurance that we are dead and our lives are hid in Christ through God and are sealed by the Holy Ghost and raised above those things. Then we are alive with the same evidence that he came back to prove to us. In other words, we're only here this morning. We're only hooked in this morning because Christ is living in us. And we're feeding on the same power that will pack us home as Rebecca fed on the same, she watered the same camel that packed her home to Isaac. From why people are so tossed about, Brother Bram said, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Not me that liveth anymore, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ living in the individual soul surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips and through their mind, sees through their eyes, acts through the temperament. Hallelujah. Then the things of the world has passed away. So can you say that everything that you are viewing, Christ is viewing? Then if there are things that are perverted, do you turn your eyes? Remember, turn your eyes upon who? Jesus. Upon Christ. Therefore, in getting back to Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Only those who are born again will seek those things which are from above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and you cannot be born again unless you have died the first death to yourself. And your life is hid with Christ. The anointing hides your life. Where? In God. And he is the word. So the anointing hides our life by living out the word. When the anointer, who is our life, shall appear, notice he says Christ is our life, so we have no other life but his living in us. That's what it says. When Christ, who is our life. Brian is dead. All right. When he shall appear, when he shall fanner or manifest in his true character, then shall you appear also. Then shall you also manifest in your true character with him in glory. Why? Because he is your life. All right. With him in glory, in doxa, with him in the same values. Do you have the values of Christ? I hope so. In the same opinions. Do we have opinions of Christ? Well, I believe so. And in the same judgments, the same word. Then, if his life is expressing itself out through our vessels, he says, mortify, therefore, your members. In other words, kill off, therefore, self, which are tied to the earth. Now, remember and never forget that Jesus is the pattern for every son of God. From the souls in prison, Brother Branham said, when he said we are dead, the scripture plainly tells us that we are dead and our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed there by the Holy Ghost. Now, it wasn't that your body died. It wasn't that your spirit died. It was the nature of your spirit died. See, the nature which is the soul. The nature of your soul is God if you're born again. If it's not, it's the nature of the world. From investments, Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God. He was what God, through his power, projected, a body which was called a son, because he was a man and he came from God. And he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery that him and God being the same, self-same person. And they were, because God was the Word and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And therefore, when God... Now, let me just stop and explain this. When God spoke the very first time in the beginning, the Logos came out of him. Jesus was in him as Logos. In God's thinking, God's mind, the Logos brought forth his Son. And he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery... for him and God to be the self-same person. And they were, because God was the Word and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And there's where God could take his Word without anything interruption. Any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. Are you constantly doing what the Father wanted done? And there the Word, could work through him. Him and the Father was one. That's what. And then he took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon that perfect life. And he died that we renegades could die to ourselves and be born above, from above. And his Word could work through us the works of God. From Shalom, Brother Brown said, Jesus, now no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. That's what Jesus said. See, in other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God, or God expressing himself through an image, see, through an image man. God expressed himself to us, and he was God, not a third person or a second person. He was the person, God. He was God himself, identified himself so we could feel him. And as it was with Moses, he said, Brother Bram said, Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto the Son, all the great blessings and gifts. For he was just expressed image of the Father, and in him dwelt all the richness of God himself in him, looking up. And he said, and I and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me, just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the express image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put into a human being. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. And God not only was identified in the body of his firstborn son, but in this hour, he was identified in another son, William Branham. And God was so expressed through his body that many thought that he was God manifested in flesh. And he was. He was so one with God that some thought it not robbery for him to be the same person as God. And that is what God wants to do in your body and mine as well. That is why we cannot receive our body changed until we have the very mind of our Father in us. From hearing him, Brother Bram said, in the Old Testament, there come a day that his father brought his son out into the public as a witness and put a robe on him and set him up upon a great place where all the city could see him. And they had all the law of adoption, his father to his own son, who had been born in his own family and now was of an age and was a child worthy to take his place, and he adopted or placed his son into position. Any Bible reader knows that the placing of a son. Then after that ceremony, the son had the right. His name was just as good on the check as his father's was. There's where the church should be today. The things that I do shall you also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. That's where the church should be today, but they're not. And why? Because of petty indifferences and jealousies, just like in the days of Joseph and in the days of Paul. Because of petty indifferences, they wouldn't get behind what Paul was doing. Shame on the church. From hear ye him, Brother Bram said, now the son that was his son, in other words, he adopted him, and by this he placed his son positionally. How did he do it? Then that son's name on the check was just as good as his father's, because he was in position. The father had vindicated, had placed that son in position, and I hope you're getting this. And then that son was an heir of what the father had, and we are what God has. We're joint heirs with Christ if we are sons of God, positionally placed in the kingdom, holding our places. Now, God has many places he could place you. Some are apostles. Some are prophets, some are teachers and evangelists and pastors, so forth. God is positionally placing his sons. In 1 John 17:11, he says, Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And how is it that we might be one, even as, which means in the same manner as Jesus and his Father were one. In verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In other words, all the churches, they say, well, we got the word. We believe the word. Plus. In other words, our own doctrines, our own creed. But we got the word. God says, that's not good enough. He said, I don't have a hybrid son. I've got a son or daughter that's not hybrid. Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. And in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe in me through their word, for they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, thou, Father, art the word, and I am the manifestation of that word. So, Father, that they may be in you, in the word, as I am in the word, and that they may be manifested word, because I am manifested word, okay? And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment, which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Therefore, it is very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory or same mind as the Father. So he says, and the glory, the doxa, the same opinion, values, and judgments, which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So if the message to you was just God sent a prophet, you're no different than the 2 million people that followed Moses under the pillar of fire, were baptized in the cloud, and didn't enter in. Or are you filled with the doxa of God, the real message of God, the doctrine which the prophet brought, the life which the prophet taught? Are you so filled with the values, the life, the doctrine, the opinions, and judgments of God that you will become one, even as Jesus was one. From hearing him, he says, are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Has he become a real reality in you? Are you living in Christ? Is Christ living in you? In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you. That's it. God living among his people, that's the way. From the Queen of Sheba, he said, that's what Jesus said. That brings a mark of distinction to the church, the signs and wonders of the resurrected living Christ, living in the church. Well, they don't want it today. It wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Branham said. Salvation does not come by denomination or by education. It comes by an experience of being born again of the Spirit of God with the Spirit of the living, of Christ living in your body. Now, that is true. And from Zacchaeus, the businessman, he said, when a man sees Christ living in you, it'll make him thirst to be like you. It'll make him see Jesus in you, makes him see God. And my desire and hope is that every one of you that are hearing this voice today, that people will look at your life and see Christ, and they'll want that Christ that's in your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. We know it's chilly outside, but it's not chilly in here. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us and guide us continually until soon, Lord, we're going to come forth in a resurrection time, a resurrection season. And we which are living shall be caught up together with those who have gone on before us. Father, we're looking for that day when not only are we manifesting your life, but we see the manifested word right before us. And we see the dead as raised from the dead. And we see them just as manifested as we are manifesting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.